This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This is Pop Culture Confidential, and I'm Christina Yerling-Biru. Hey everyone, thanks for joining me and welcome to Pop Culture Confidential. 18-year-old Grace Edwards turns in a stellar performance in Wes Anderson's new film Asteroid City, set at a junior stargazer space cadet convention in the 1950s. With co-stars like Scarlett Johansson, who plays her mother, a Hollywood actress named Midge Campbell, Tom Hanks, Tilda Swinton, and Jeffrey Wright, Grace Edwards holds her own as Dinah, a 15-year-old with a passion for botany and astronomy. Here is Asteroid City.
My word, it's hot.
It's the desert. What'd you expect?
I don't know, but I'm melting like a cut petunia.
Asteroid City, from director Wes Anderson.
Tonight you're in for a real treat.
I don't like the way that alien looked at us.
Secure the site. Detain all witnesses.
I'm in no hurry. I like the desert. I like aliens.
This isn't the beginning of something, is it?
I'm very happy to have Grace Edwards with me here to talk about, among other things, the very special task of working with Wes Anderson and his unique visionary style. Grace Edwards, thank you so much for joining me and congratulations on your really great performance.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Tell me about Dinah.
Well, Dinah is a 15-year-old whiz kid, a wunderkind, if you will, with an affinity for botany and astronomy.
And did you model her after anyone?
She was modeled after a few people, not only for her wardrobe, but also her personality. For wardrobe, she was sort of modeled after Sue Leon's Lolita and JC from The Last Picture Show. And in terms of character, Wes had me watch some Jodie Foster films to get a sense of her logical and sensible presence on screen. So I was trying to go for something like that.
I know that you have a very sophisticated taste in film yourself. Were these movies that you had seen and that you knew of?
I think only a few of them, but I'm glad to have watched her other films because she's very talented herself.
So Wes Anderson is part of my DNA. I think like from Rushmore, I think I had a thing for the lonely brainiac kid, but that's another another story. But what was your relationship to him before getting into this project?
Well, as a matter of fact, I had never heard of him. Even when I was auditioning for the project, I was in upstate New York shooting Modern Love, and a colleague of mine was auditioning for it, and she told me of this audition. So I gave it a whirl. Slowly but surely, I learned who he was, and I started to watch a few of his films. And what a great artist to be able to work with. I mean, he is absolutely terrific.
What did you think? Which movies of his grabbed you?
Well, honestly, Bottle Rocket, I think, was my favorite of his.
First, yeah, that's a great one. And why did you like that one?
You know, I think there's nothing like a director's first film. I've read a little bit about, you know, directors talking about their first films. And I think that you'll never get that sense again of not knowing what you're doing, or a sort of freshness that you have, you know, and figuring and forming yourself. And once you do it again and again after that, it's not quite the same as your first go around.
I understand that the audition process, this was during the pandemic, right?
Yes, that's
so
right.
So you were actually doing your auditions on Zoom. I mean, what is that like?
Well, I was doing sort of self-tapes. I did my first self-tape of Moonrise Kingdom. It was the scene between Susie and her mother. And I was asked to read for both characters, a take of each. And all of the auditions after that, all of the tapings were just of me reading it with my mother and sending mm-hmm. them in. There weren't really any Zooms until we did rehearsals.
For me, this movie feels very, very personal to him. But I get the feeling, and he said as much in interviews, that he's really looking at art and the artist. And there's a line that's, I don't know, remember it verbatim, but keep telling the story even if you don't understand the play. What did he tell you about the story and what he wanted it to be?
When I first read the script, I told him I thought I found it very strange. It was I had to read it a few times, well, of course, but he also showed me an animatic, which he does for his films, you know, like a little cartoon, if you will, that shows each shot and how, you know, the essence of how he wishes it to be done. And I think I made a lot more sense of it. And I really like I think it was important how he used contrast. You know, you have this, a very broadcasting, you know, Broadway, New York, black and white sort of presence. And then you have Southwest desert with all these beautiful colors. And I think that, I think he really creates a lovely picture with his contrast in this film.
It's fascinating to understand how he works with you as actors, because, I mean, he has a very specific style, the framing, the mise-en-scène, the dialogue. How much do you actually work with him to get what he wants, his vision?
Well, I think on set, we work very closely, the actors, with Wes. He's very direct. He knows everything, you know, he knows everything to fine measurement.
I can believe that.
Oh yes. Yeah. He knows when, you know, the camera is slightly out of frame. He knows everything in a very deep specificity. And well, working with us, he's just the same. And he if we have if we're out of a certain a little area of ours, you know, he knows how to tell us, okay, well, when you do this, maybe bring it in a little more, or try this, you know, when this line comes along, why don't you try doing something different? Or that's usually what he does. But he always has a very clear image in his head, no matter what he has you do.
I mean, I imagine there's not a lot of improv on a Wes Anderson set, since he knows every detail, every mark where you're standing.
Yes. It was very different. I had never worked with someone that specific before in terms of a directing style. When I worked on Modern Love, it was very different. Celine and Logan were very spontaneous. A lot of the times they didn't even want us to stay true to the dialogue. They wanted to keep it very fresh and surprising. But working with this, I think, made me very happy to have had a taste of both directing styles, to be able to understand both a little more, I think.
You're 18, you have a great career already, but of course you're kind of starting out. This cast, it's Tom Hanks, it's Jason Schwartz, it's Scarlett Johansson, Bryan Cranston, Jeff Goldblum, I mean, you name it. Tell me a little bit about working with Scarlett. She plays your mother. What did you learn from her?
Meeting her was... I don't think I'll ever forget that moment. It was a very special thing for me. And watching her and being around her, she carries this grounded sensibility, and she's very apt to take a moment and to stop things when they go awry, or if there's miscommunication or a kink in the system. She always is able to spot it, I think. Mm-hmm. And she's always able to assess it very clearly. And I think she has very much paved the way for young actresses like me and, you know, some of my colleagues that I've worked with. And I think that's very important to have been able to work with someone like her.
And is there anyone else in this vast cast who really made an impression on you?
Jeff Goldblum was very nice. He was he would come over and talk to us. And he would try to, he would discuss the backstage scenes with us. I mean, I didn't have any of the scenes in the backstage. Well, I had one, just that little shot in the beginning. But he was very poetic, and he loved to talk about it. And he loved to talk about deeper meanings behind scenes and characters and dialogue. And I loved that about him. He was very warm and open.
That's
to
exactly
us.
How I imagine him.
Yes.
There's, I mean, definitely some crazy scenes in all Wes Anderson movies, but this one, no doubt. For you, was there a day on the set when you were like, what the hell is this? How are we going to be? What was the craziest day for you?
Oh, the first one, of course. I get out
What
there.
Was that like?
It was sweltering outside and there was dust everywhere. And
you're filming in Spain, right?
Yes, a little town south of Madrid called Chinchon. A beautiful little town, very historical. And we're out on this, I think it's a plot of a farm that they built, on which they built the set. And I get out there. I mean, I had already, they'd taken me out there to see it before, but on the day that I was shooting, it was very hot and there was dust everywhere. And we were all, breathing that in, hacking and coughing and sneezing. And and it was, we had to shoot some shots of the memory game scene, the first round of it. And I think it was a very daunting first day for me.
That was a lot of dialogue in that scene.
There was a lot. And we had to, I mean, that all those names were memorized. We all had to remember everything. And I think shooting that and being there and getting a taste of what it was really like my first day, I was very, I don't think I was intimidated, but I think I was, I had to be very patient. It was a lot for my first day.
Take me back a little bit. Were your parents in the industry? How did you get started?
No, I have absolutely no industry blood.
What is your blood?
I started doing school plays when I attended school in the first grade. And the reason why was because I would watch, the little plays they were doing, and I wasn't old enough to join the theater program. And I didn't like that very much. I liked how everyone got to go up there and express their creative endeavors, and I coerced them mm-hmm. into letting me up there. And so and then I think I took a little hiatus after that. I was very young, so I didn't know that that's what I wanted to do per se. But then I got to do a little bit of theater at the Egyptian Theater in Park City, Utah. I got to do a little productions with them. And I very much enjoyed that. And we sort of came out to California after just to stay at a friend's house. And we figured if we were this close to where all the magic happens, we might as well just jump right in. And we did.
What roles are you looking for?
I think I like the films along the lines of Asteroid City. I like art house cinema very much. I like European films. I like psychological thrillers. I like films that that make you think very deeply, whether you agree with them or not. Just something very poignant, but also thought-provoking.
Who are your dream directors or writers?
Well, I love Charlie Kaufman.
Good
yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, thank you. Writers, I like Craig Mazin.
Mm-hmm. I've spoken to him many times. He's so great.
Oh, I bet he is. What a talent.
So you like The Last of Us. Do you play?
I did not see The Last of Us. Mm-hmm.
Is this Chernobyl?
Yes, Chernobyl. Yeah. Yes. But I would like to see The Last of Us because I've only heard wonderful things about it.
It's great.
I want to give it my time very much.
And what's your next film?
Well, I haven't anything aligned yet. There are a few things in the air.
I want to end up talking about someone I haven't been able to talk with anyone before. I walked into a small art gallery many, many years ago in Rome, and there was this exhibition of an American street photographer named Vivian Mayer. She was a photographer. Well, she was a nanny, and they actually found her photographs after she had passed. And she made such a huge impression on me and her pictures, especially her pictures of children on the street. And you're the first person I read that adores her. Tell me why you like her. Let's get people to see her stuff.
Yes, I would love to get people to see her stuff. She's marvelous. I love her, I think, because she was so obscure and she was so private, and I think I can very much relate to her. She didn't like to talk about much concerning herself. She didn't like to say.
No one knew anything about her when she was alive. We sort of found out about her through her pictures after the fact, someone found in an auction or something like that. Or
yes, that's right. John Maloof, he found all of her work. And I think I greatly appreciate just who she was as a person, firstly, and then, you know, through her work. So when I discovered her, I remember when the documentary Finding Vivian Maier came out, I think it was for Sundance. And as a young girl, I think I was only 7 or 8 when that came out, but it resonated with me quite instantly. And I hadn't even gotten a taste of doing photography yet.
Well, this is my idea, Grace. You're going to play her, and then we'll get some great director or even Craig to do it. And soon you'll be able to do her. I think that would be great. That's my idea.
I think that's a terrific idea, and I'm not opposed to it by any means.
We'll put this out in the universe.
Yes, we'll give it good energy.
Well, I can't wait to see what you're going to do next. You're a really talented young actor. And thank you so much for taking your time with me here and for Asteroid City, which I love. And
absolutely. Thank you very much for talking with me.
Thank you so much to Grace Edwards. Asteroid City is out now. Make sure not to miss it. And thank you so much for listening. Please subscribe to Pop Culture Confidential wherever you get your podcasts. Pop Culture Confidential is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network. See you next time. Don't you know that
you're a grown-up? I'm a grown-up.
Me too.
Yep, me too. But you know, these days, being a grown-up can really suck.
Luckily, we're grown-ups who grew up in the coolest generation.
We had video arcades.
And also some of the best TV and movies ever made.
We lived the origin of awesome consumer electronics. The list goes on and on.
Yep, Generation X.
Exactly.
And we're Gen X Grown-Up.
Every week, the Gen X Grown-Up podcast explores media, tech, toys, games, and more from both yesterday and today.
Through the eyes of Generation Xers who absolutely love that stuff. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Or find us on our website, GenXGrownUp.com. Life sucks as a grown-up. All right, you think that was good enough?
I hope so, man. I'm tired.
Who listens to a promo on a podcast and then goes and listens to a different podcast?
Right. I've never done it.
So, no, right.